Jones launched their new book called The Music Lover's Guide to North America. Right now, before we move into the second segment that will feature another book launch, which will feature Sarah Weisvis with her new book called Heartlines, A Love Story, which is actually a play. I'll talk more about that as we move into it, but I hope you can stick around in the second hour for that. My heartfelt thanks to all of you out there for tuning into this first hour, and to Joe and Craig that evening for their wonderful readings and conversations, and of course, as always, to Novel Idea for always being there for these kinds of things. You are and have been listening to Finding Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock, and the show's called Finding a Voice. We do stream live online at www.cfrc.ca, and also, just a quick reminder that every week I do upload both hours of my of this show to my personal blog space for it at Finding a Voice on cfrcfm.wordpress.com. They do remain there for 3 years. So tell you what, let's go ahead and do this quickly, and then I'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Jack Ayala, one of CFRC's marketing assistants at the station. CFRC's funding drive is now underway and running through December 31st. Donate today and get amazing CFRC prizes. For every $5 you donate, donors also earn one more ticket for each of our weekly raffle draws, featuring prizes from wonderful local businesses including Harper's Burger Bar, Hotel Wolf Island, Kingston Canadian Film Festival, KPP Concerts, Long M. McQuaid, Mighty Birds, Pokeworks, and Novel Idea. Enjoy the benefits of donating and give today via cfrc.ca.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could borrow a musical instrument free of charge, just like you can borrow books from your local library? We think so too. That's why the Joe Chitlin Memorial Musical Instrument Lending Library, also known as Joe's Mill, has been lending guitars, keyboards, saxophones, and many other instruments to the Kingston community free of charge for almost 20 years. We are a registered charity, relying solely on the generosity of our community to donate their time, money, and instruments to keep this amazing service alive. Find us at www.joesmill.org or Joe's Mill on Facebook for more information on borrowing instruments or contributing to Joe's Mill.
Hello and welcome to Salt Licht in Rapture. I'm your host, Nishan Tung. Salt Licht in Rapture is a sonic exploration of, to quote Virginia Woolf, violent waves of emotion. Featuring both known and lesser known musicians and poets, a special emphasis is placed on oddball, enigmatic, outsider artists whose work invokes dreamscapes and feelings of alienation, nostalgia, melancholy, existential unease, and yearning. Join me on Fridays at 8 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Hello, this is Christina Laurie, CFRC's Local Journalism Initiative news reporter. Does local news matter to you? CFRC's annual funding drive campaign is now underway through December 31st, and you can help CFRC keep our listeners informed on issues that matter with modernized broadcasting equipment and trained team members. Help CFRC raise $25,000 this year and make your gift today via cfrc.ca. Don't forget to tune in for daily news programming and subscribe to our news podcast to keep up with the latest in your community.
And it is now just a little after 4 minutes after 5 o'clock. And thanks for tuning in to CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located here in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. This is Finding a Voice, a spoken word program airing here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. And for those of you who just tuned in, welcome back, or welcome. And for those still listening from the first hour, welcome back. And now into a more, I guess, official start to the second segment of today's show. If you're just tuning in to this show that began at 4 in the first hour from a November 27th book launch event at Novel Idea, you did hear Josephine or Joe Matthias and Craig Jones launched their new book called The Music Lover's Guide to North America. And now coming up, as introduced in the, let's do this, coming up in the second hour from a November 20th launch event at Novel Idea Bookstore again, and as introduced by Colleen Renahan, you will hear Sarah Weisvis with Evelyn Perry and Zoe Sweet in an audio performance as they launched Sarah's book called, it's a play called Heartlines, A Love Story. Before we do move into this segment, though, I do want to just mention again, like I did at the start of the first hour, we are just in the final 2 weeks. Hard to believe that it began November 1st, and here we are, and it ends December 31st, but it always seems like when this starts, it goes by so quickly, and we are in the final 2 weeks, really, of our this year's funding drive. We are attempting to raise $25,000, and we could still very much use your support. We're still quite a ways away. But what's harder to believe, though, is that I've been a volunteer at CFRC for over 17 years and have produced and hosted Finding a Voice here on this station for going on 16. And that's crazy. I can't believe it. It's been a blast. I've loved it, and I continue to love doing it. And I don't know. CFRC feels like home, feels like family. It's been a wonderful journey for me to be able to share other poets and authors' work each and every week on this show, and I couldn't have done it without the studios and the training and guidance I'd received at CFRC. They made a difference to me, and they're making a difference each year for hundreds of volunteers to pursue, I don't know, each their own loves and interests there. They also make a difference in this community and for what they offer both inside and outside the station. So I want to make sure that those interested in being a part of CFRC next year and even in the, I don't know, years to come, have that chance as well. So I'm reaching out with this just short message today. Again, my heartfelt thanks if you've already donated. And again, as I mentioned in the first hour, I know several people that have told me they have, and I'm really touched that they have. And for those of you who haven't, maybe this is simply a little something you needed to remind you. And so it's so easy. You just simply go to the website, www.cfrc.ca, click on the donate button, and it just takes you straight to the page that explains all the reasons and ways you can donate. You can either get a tax receipt or gifts, and again, it's all there. So I do know it's been a harder year for nearly everyone, but if you want and are able to donate and haven't done so yet, just so you know, any amount is deeply appreciated. So my heartfelt thanks again. And I guess I'll only be doing this one more time next week, because by the next Friday after that, we will be in January. That's crazy, too. So anyway, I'm lucky and fortunate. Well, I always love airing what I play on here, but I just had a lot of fun at both of these launches I'm airing today. And so it was kind of fun that it worked out time-wise that I could actually put them both together. So, and they're very much different, but it's going to be cool. It seems like, I've been looking forward to this. And so let's go ahead and just start to go into it. Finding my notes here. I do have a usual mention each week that I say at the start of each hour of the show, and it is occasionally that, some readings or music on this show may contain strong language, but all is included as much as I possibly can to maintain the integrity of both the author and the piece. And so now, as we move into the second launch I'm airing today, from this was the November 20th launch event held at Novel Idea Bookstore. You will hear, again, as introduced by Colleen Renahan, Sarah Weisvis, with Evelyn Perry and Zoe Sweet. And what you're going to hear is an audio performance as they launched Sarah's book, which is a play called Heartlines, A Love Story. Tell you what, let's just go ahead and jump into it right now. Here we go.
So I think we might get started here, just in the interest of time. Hopefully some of you have gotten a glass of wine. I know there's wine calling us from over, sparkling water, other lovely things, crackers and cheese. Welcome everyone to this beautiful and very exciting evening. So my name is Colleen. I am a colleague of Sarah's at the Dance School of Drama and Music. Sarah's my brilliant colleague and also dear friend. So I'm here to introduce Sarah this evening. Sarah is a playwright, dramaturge, and multidisciplinary performer. Her solo script, Monstrous, about the Afro-Caribbean diaspora experience and mixed-race identity, has been performed across Canada and the U.S. Most recently, Sarah directed Donna Michelle St. Bernard's Witness Shift for Obsidian Theatre and CBC Arts as part of the filmed anthology 21 Black Futures, which I saw and it was brilliant, and worked as the chorus director for St. Bernard's The First Stone. Sarah is currently looking for a publishing home for her memoir manuscript, Dream Baby, IVF, Solo Parenting, and the Making of a Mother. An excerpt from that work appeared online in Mother Magazine. Is that how one pronounces that magazine?
Okay, so. Did it. With attitude.
Nice. That's it. In terms of Heartlines, Sarah first began working on it in 2015. So it has been officially 10 years from page to stage to press. And we've seen it, you know, in true fleshy form here, in its beautiful, like, physical form. I'm so excited. In that time, there were two staged readings in Ottawa and Toronto, two funded workshops with professional artists, a workshop production at the National Undercurrents Festival, one playwright residency from the Ontario Arts Council at Great Canadian Theatre Company, another residency at the National Arts Centre from the Canada Council, multiple grants won from municipal, provincial, and national agencies, and finally a sold-out main stage production at Ottawa's Great Canadian Theatre Company. So I'm now going to pass it over to Sarah to tell us a little bit more about the content of the play and to reveal what the actors will be reading for us this evening. So please help me welcome Sarah.
Hi. Thank you for being here. This is super fun and also, like, really nerve-wracking, so I apologize. I am going to use my own script to help me tell you about my own play. As Colleen said, it's taken 10 years to get to this, and I find that really moving because life happens in those 10 years, so, you know, I can think back to, you know, when I first started scrawling the notes for this play, where I was, and then, you know, multiple shifts have happened to bring us here. I actually started writing this play as morning pages. Mm-hmm. And it was after a dare from two playwright friends and I. We would get together in Ottawa and we would lament the fact that there weren't enough queer plays. Okay, so we were sitting around drinking gin and tonics going, there should be more queer plays, and not writing any. And then eventually we thought, okay, we probably had something, you know, that we were contributing to this problem. So we gave ourselves a completely bananas goal. We said, we need to write some queer plays and we need to do it now. So we booked a venue. We had no plays. We booked a venue. And that gave us a deadline. So by the time that evening in, I think it was March or May, came around, we had written, each of us, we each had to contribute a short play. So we had three short queer plays. And we performed them ourselves in a staged reading along with a few other collaborators. And we billed it as a queer theatrical salon. And my contribution to that evening was 20 minutes of Heartlines. So it's what I had started writing in those morning pages, and it became 20 minutes. And I performed in it with my friend Margot, and then we were invited to perform it at the cabaret at Buddies in Bad Times in Toronto for Pride in Toronto 1 year. And then again, I performed it with Margot, and we did it. And the response was so fun because nobody had ever heard of these two artists that the play was about. Who were these people? Claude Cahun and Marcel Moore. They are these kind of niche figures. If you were someone who was interested in fine arts and specifically surrealism in France at a certain moment in time, you may have heard of Claude Cahun. You probably didn't know about their partner, Marcel Moore. And these two artists, in fact, were collaborators. And that was one of the things I wanted to figure out with my research. How can I unveil what I'm sure is true, which is that Marcel Moore, this one, helped a lot more than history remembers. And in fact, that's what I discovered. And I also wanted to probe the Jewish identity of the characters. On their grave site, there are two Magen Davids, not just one, even though we only know of Claude Cahun as being Jewish. So there were all sorts of murky things in the storytelling. And also, nobody tells stories about Jewish lesbians from the, you know, 1920s to 1940s. Why not? Well, here's a good story to tell about them. So in the 10 years that I wrote this play, it went from being a play about lesbians. And now I realize it's a play about at least one person who's genderqueer, perhaps trans. And so my evolution also of understanding of the sexuality and gender identity of the characters shifted in that time. But I think it's true to their life. So Claude especially was interested in gender performance, and in various aspects of their life either described themselves as male or as female, but most often as neutral or neuter. So there's an interesting third thing happening. So they're very interesting characters. They're interested in performativity and experimentation and innovation. And all of that is true in their art, right? So as photographers, as painters, as writers. And it's also true in their resistance work. And that was the other element that I was so fascinated by. Because while they were themselves Jewish and queer, whether or not they were genderqueer or not, you know, they were sexual minorities in what eventually became Nazi-occupied France and Nazi-occupied Jersey, which is one of the island in the Channel Islands that they moved to. So in every aspect where they lived, either in Paris or on Jersey, they were, the world was closing in on them for various aspects of their identity. And instead of doing nothing, they used their art to fight. And we know a lot about, you know, we hear, and the play even jokes about it, we hear about men who blow up train tracks and, you know, do all sorts of extravagant exploits. But sometimes it's the small-scale resistance work that is the most powerful. The accumulation of that can really make change. So if the play somehow manages to track all of these ideas, I don't know. It took a long time to write, 10 years. But yeah, we go through that and we live that with them in the show. And What the actors will do today is present a few scenes from Act 1, where we get a little bit more of the sense of who they are to each other. So in the play, it's useful to have a visual aid, right? So Claude Cahun is the artist name of someone who was originally named Lucy Schwab. But in the play, to also honor the androgynous and gender non-binary identity of this artist, we call them Claude in the play. This character, Marcel Moore, that's their artist name, but we call her Suzanne. And that's her given name. So that's a bit of where you'll hear Zoe Sweet will play the role of Suzanne, Marcel Moore. Evelyn Perry will play the role of Claude Cahun, and we call them Claude. That's what we'll do. So the scenes from Act 1 will tell you a little bit more about their relationship, and then you'll hear how things start to take a turn when the rise of Nazism. And the scenes from Act 2 will show the characters in a much more constrained environment as they're under occupation on Jersey, but that's when they start to make a plan to take action. So that's what I'll say about the play for now. I'm really glad that you're here, and I am now going to welcome my dear collaborators, Evelyn Perry and Zoe Sweet. Perfect. So I will sit here and be the radio and et cetera, et cetera. So
great.
So we'll begin with Act 1, Scene 1. And just a quick note, the setting is the realm of memory. So this is not a play, it's not realism. So the realm of memory. Scene 1, a youthful passion.
I was the older girl, but she seduced me. We were at the Lycée together in Nantes. She was 2 years younger. I knew she was Jewish and that her family owned the local newspaper. She claimed that she had been paying attention to me, watching me. She always said that she pursued me in such a way that I couldn't refuse. Typical Claude.
I always knew. Most people know from a young age. Not necessarily that they love women, or men if they're men, but they know they're different. For me, it was like a thirst I couldn't quench. My earliest happy memory is of holding my cousin Marie's hand and walking with her in a field. I never forgot that warmth, that softness. When I met Suzanne, I already knew what I wanted from her because I had felt it with Marie when we held hands, and I had felt it again a few years later when Marie and I moved on to exploring each other's bodies. She wanted to practice making babies, so we did the best we could with what we had. So I knew what orgasm felt like, even though my technique had been up till then largely accidental. And my liaisons had been limited to my cousin. Of course it was forbidden. It was a sin for Catholics. But for Jews? I always found their opinion about gay women much less clear. Not that I was religious, unless it suited me. Which is, some would say, very Jewish.
And suddenly, there she was, one afternoon in the school's art studio, Mademoiselle Lucy Schwab. I asked her if she painted. She said no. Well, why are you here then? I asked. To meet you. Will you teach me to paint? And so I taught her all that I knew.
I wanted her to know my name. And then I wanted to steal a kiss. A quick bisou on the mouth.
We quickly became inseparable. I was asked to tutor her in painting as well as in German because I was fluent. My family always spoke German at home, but Lucy was not at all interested in the finer points of technique in either art or grammar. And eventually, when my widowed mother announced that she would marry her widowed father, we became stepsisters. We laughed and laughed.
Scene 6. Inaccrochable. It will never sell. Suzanne is cutting out images and moving them around on her easel. Claude storms into the apartment.
Suzanne, Adrienne Monnier doesn't want it. She said it would never sell. Inaccrochable, she said, quoting Gertrude. You believe it? And they said they can't stand each other. La vache!
Slow down, please.
I showed Adrienne the manuscript we talked about, and she doesn't want to publish it. She doesn't want to publish disavowals.
I'm so sorry, sweetheart. I thought for sure she would want it. Maybe it needs a little more work.
I thought it was ready. I feel so stupid. Adrienne said the writing was strong, but that it was too opaque and confusing. That the reader would have to work too hard. But that's the whole point. I want them to work. I want the reader to be challenged by the structure, by the ambiguity. Otherwise, it's just a novel. I argued with Adrienne about that, saying I wasn't interested in tradition, in being the next Balzac. And then she suggested I try my hand at a journal intime. A tell-all memoir? I couldn't believe it. Shicks a cow. Mm-hmm. She didn't even catch the Yom Kippur reference in the title. She's a Philistine. Journal intime. That fake writing for and by little old ladies? I'm done with her. With Sylvia Beach, with their conjoined twin bookstores, with everything. For my revenge, I'm going to seduce Gertrude and Alice both and be a social pariah and write opaque novels in invisible ink since my writing is so unsellable.
Makes sense.
Do you think my book is too weird? I'm going to make the book even weirder then. So weird, no one will want to read it, let alone buy it.
Mm-hmm. You do that, sweetheart.
You're not even listening to me. What are you working on that's so important?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm playing with that technique of Picasso and Braque's. It's collage. Just some cuttings of our photographs and seeing what happens if the pieces are assembled randomly, like the images in a kaleidoscope when you turn it around. When you turn the barrel. Do you remember those toys? The shapes in the toys are geometric, but what if they weren't? What if they were motifs from our photographs? Like, how can they keep changing and transforming on the page?
You are brilliant, my love. Collage, I love this. The images don't make sense together, but in a way they do. Wait, does each collage have a central theme, or is it entirely random? How do you choose what goes together? Tell me everything. Wait, I hereby commission you to illustrate my unpublishable, unsellable, inaccrochable book. I want you to make me the most confusing, unique, mutant illustrations possible. We'll never sell any books, but to hell with it. And then we'll bestow a signed copy to Adrienne with thanks for the inspiration. She can share it with Sylvia, that cow.
Claude sweeps Suzanne off her feet, and they dance around the apartment, laughing and mooing and scattering all the collage material. Scene 8. Vive la France. Suzanne and Claude are listening to the radio, which plays a live broadcast. The voice on the radio builds in intensity from urgent to bellicose. Radio. This is the BBC for August 5th, 1929. Herr Hitler and his Nationalist Socialist Nazi Party held their fourth party congress in Nuremberg, Germany, from August 1st to 4th.
Fucking Nazis.
A fourth congress?
This fourth rally was given the name the Day of Composure.
How poetic.
A fireworks show enthralled the crowd of attendees, including great war hero General Von Epp.
Whoever that is.
Are you sure we shouldn't leave? We could go to America.
We don't know anyone there. Besides, they hate queers and Jews and blacks in America just like in Germany.
What? Antarctica, then? Canada? Palestine? This is ridiculous. He is a madman.
The Germans elected him.
Then they're all equally mad.
French Jewish communities, as well as scholars and intellectuals, are pressuring the government to intervene. But sources say L'Elysée Palace would rather not repeat the Dreyfus affair.
Next, he'll go after the queers and the blacks and the communists. Like always. Hitler hates all of us, and he's not even hiding it anymore.
Don't say his name in this house!
Someone should shoot him before he does any more damage.
What if they have someone worse than Hitler waiting in the wings?
God forbid.
Fuck you, Hitler!
You didn't salute, soldier.
Verzihang, mein Kapitän. I beg your pardon, mein Hitler, mein Herr.
Heil Hitler, long live das Vaterland, the Vaterland.
Nein, long live dein Mutterland. Vive la France.
Heil la France, heil la Sasse et la Lorraine.
Heil Paris, heil Montparnasse, heil les gays parisiennes.
Heil Claude Cahun. Heil Marcel Moore.
Claude and Suzanne mock goose-step around the apartment. Each has a hand raised as a mustache, the other arm raised in salute. The radio broadcast gets louder and merges with their salutes.
Heil les deux magots.
Heil Café Flore.
Heil James Joyce.
Heil Sylvia Beach.
Heil André Breton.
Heil Picasso.
Heil les folles bergères.
Heil Josephine Baker.
Heil Gertrude Stein.
Heil la ville lumière.
The sound of metal-tipped boots increases in intensity as the radio volume increases too. Transition to interlude. Claude and Suzanne listen to the next broadcast. Radio. This is the BBC World Service on the 3rd of September, 1939. This is London. You will now hear a message from the Prime Minister of Great Britain. This morning, the British ambassador in Berlin handed the German government a final note stating that unless we heard from them by 11 o'clock, that they were prepared at once to withdraw their troops from Poland, a state of war would be declared by us. Consequently, this country is at war with Germany. I repeat, this country is at war with Germany. Claude and Suzanne kiss each other in deliberate defiance to the rising Nazi tide. Lights go out suddenly. End of Act One. Act Two sees our characters moving to the Channel Island of Jersey to escape the occupation of France, but also they left before hoping things would be okay. But it turns out Jersey gets occupied too. The German forces go as far as there. You can see England basically from the other side. So now the characters, the actors are going to read three scenes that happen when things are closing in. 6, 7, and 8. Scene 6. It's just a drawing. The sound of drips or leaking. The electric lights are working again. Claude is writing in a notebook. Suzanne is drawing. The following three scenes echo each other. The house should feel increasingly claustrophobic.
What are you writing?
Nothing.
Well, don't waste paper on nothing. It's unseemly.
What are you working on?
Nothing. It's just a stilly drawing.
You haven't drawn in ages. What is it? Show me.
I'm not sure. Attends.
What exactly is this?
It's just bouillon. Give it back.
No, not yet. Let me look. What does this German phrase mean? Does that say pigs?
Translated, it means, go home to your squealing mommies, little pigs.
I hope you plan to destroy that.
I will. Only I had another one of those dreams last night. And this time I dreamed that the officers tried to raise up their hideous swastika flag at their HQ. Instead, what came up was our tricolore, the one that we hid in the latrine. And in my dream, I was the one who had switched the flags.
You wouldn't.
I wouldn't actually do that, Claude, but can't we do something?
We are doing something. Our job is not to get arrested.
No, that's not enough. I'm sick of doing nothing. I don't want to ration paper anymore. I don't want to eat soup made from vegetable skins or worry that another one of our friends has disappeared. People are being rounded up. Where the fuck are they being taken to?
You need to keep your voice down. Do you think I don't know all that? Someone might hear you. We can't trust anyone anymore.
What happened to all your bravado? You're telling me to keep my voice down? You? The one who used to dance all night in the street drunk? Singing with the musicians until you lost your voice? You who dragged me into the contre-attaque with all of those arrogant men like Breton so you could wage surrealist battles on fascism. You want me to be quiet?
You're not the one they're after. You're not the Jew.
I am a Jew too. Inside, where it counts. And we are both disgusting homosexuals to them.
I know.
I'm sick of doing nothing, Claude. If I were a man, I would sail to London right now and enlist with the Allies.
Or join a band of resistors and blow up some train tracks?
Or steal some guns?
Or kill a German? Slit his throat?
No.
Just how far would you go, Sherry?
Scene 7, reprise. The sound of drips or leaking or ticking.
What are you writing?
Nothing.
Well, don't waste paper on nothing. It's unseemly.
Pause. Sound of a drip.
I had a dream. I had that dream again last night.
The flag?
Yeah.
Pause. Sound of a drip.
I passed a soldier today on High Street. He looked so young. Still a kid, and was he ever cute? With that little smile as he wished me bonjour? Why is he here? Why did he join the army? He seems so sweet.
Maybe so, but I wouldn't trust him.
Oh, I don't trust him either. But it made me think, maybe just a few of them got swept up in the frenzy. Maybe they were poor and they had no future. Maybe their love of country had got confused about how to show that love.
But they're here, an occupying force, looking to arrest or deport us. Oh,
could we convince them not to? Could we convince them to quit? Leave? Even stand up to Hitler?
Impossible.
Remember when we were in the contre-attaque? The pamphlets, the leaflets, we passed those around Paris to convince people to join us, and some of them were funny?
Like that cartoon you showed me with the pigs. You think pamphlets could convince them to leave Jersey?
Maybe. I bet they only hear Berlin-approved news. I bet they don't even know the truth.
We could distribute bulletins telling them what's really happening. Show them the truth.
I could translate the news from the BBC into their motherland, type it all up in German, and remind them that the Allies haven't given up and that Germany isn't invincible.
Convince them to defect before it's too late. It doesn't make sense that they all could be.
But it would just have to be the two of us. No, we can't trust anyone. You said so yourself. It's not safe.
I know.
Scene 8. Resistance HQ. The sound grows.
What are you writing?
Nothing.
Well, don't waste paper on nothing. It's unseemly.
Okay, then what have you got?
I think our best angle is dissuasion instead of persuasion. Not so much propaganda as... yeah, I don't know what to call it. And you'll have to trust me on the German.
Fine, let's hear it.
Okay. Three options. First, the fatherland is bereft without us. Defect! Defect! Defect!
Too long.
Okay. Second option. Get the fuck off my island!
Seriously?
Of course not. But I keep having that dream.
What about, we're going down, abandon ship, and we sign it. Le soldat inconnu. I like it. It has a certain flair.
Le soldat inconnu. The soldier with no name.
Admittedly, I do like your suggestion of get the fuck off our island.
And then tomorrow we'll follow the serving staff into the mess hall and put these tracks under their plates. What's for lunch today, Hans? Oh, a note.
You know how they keep having their funerals in our churchyard? I bet when they're not paying attention, we could put these under the windshields of their waiting cars.
I like it.
Let's do it.
Thank you so much. Thank you to Evelyn Perry and Zoe Sweet, and thank you to Colleen for that introduction. And that's all that there is for me to say other than thank you, Novel Idea, for hosting this beautiful, beautiful event. There's wine, there are cookies. I'm happy to talk to you about the play. There's no formal Q&A, so you'll just have to informally Q&A. And that's it. And I'd love to, just a final shout out to Talon Books, who is the publisher of this beautiful, beautiful book. And this wouldn't have been possible without them. So thank you to everyone involved. And that's it for me. Yeah. Go drink wine. Vive la France. Thank you.
And you just heard from a November 20th launch event at Novel Idea Bookstore, Sarah Weisvis, with Evelyn Perry and Zoe Sweet in an audio performance as they launched Sarah's book. It's a play called Heartlines, A Love Story. And I do have quite a lot of information I'd like to share with you too, since there's still some time left on this show today. Mostly just calls for submissions, since there are several of those expiring soon that I'm aware of. And I'm going to do that. And I'm also going to share a song as well to take us out of here today. So I hope you can hang around for that as well. My heartfelt thanks again to Sarah and Evelyn and Zoe and Colleen for their event that evening. And again, Novel Idea Bookstore. But before we get into all the rest of that, let's go ahead and do this first.
CFRC 101.9 FM has launched its annual funding drive to raise $25,000 to support station operations, news and creative programming, and upgrades to our recording and performance studios. You can make a difference. Visit CFRC.ca right now and make your gift. Get a tax receipt or sweet, sweet CFRC swag and enter to win our weekly raffle draws featuring gifts from amazing local donors. Thank you for your support.
Friday evenings at 6 p.m. here on CFRC, listen to Saltwater Music, a show covering all musical genres from the East Coast of Canada. Celtic, of course, but also rock, jazz, blues, folk, and a lot more. I'm your host, Rob Carnell. Tune in to Saltwater Music Friday evening from 6 to 8 here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Or you can catch us on the web at www.cfrc.ca. And for our listeners out east, that's 7 p.m. Atlantic and 7:30 Newfoundland.
CFRC's annual funding drive campaign is now underway through December 31st. Help us raise $25,000 to support our local arts and artists and keep our community informed with local news, concerts, and event listings on air and on our website. Visit CFRC.ca today and make your gift to Kingston's longest-running broadcaster serving our community since 1922. Get a tax receipt via Queen's University or get sweet CFRC swag and enter to win our raffle draws featuring gifts from amazing local donors. For every $5 donated, you get one more chance to win. Thank you for your support.
Partners in Mission Food Bank could not exist without the loyalty, dedication, and support of volunteers, some of whom have been with us for over 30 years. Our team of volunteers consists of individuals who continually devote both their time and skills on a regular basis in an effort to make a positive impact on hunger and the food needs of the community. Volunteering has no age limits. Your commitment and energy is enough. It is a great way to make new friends and contribute to your community. Partners in Mission Food Bank volunteers provide essential services in many ways, including assembling daily hampers, sorting food donations, breaking down and portioning bulk items, packing eggs into cartons, keeping the warehouse safe and clean, and providing helpful input to other volunteers and staff. Interested in volunteering with Partners in Mission Food Bank? Please call our volunteer coordinator at 613-544-4100.
And welcome back. You are and have been listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. It is 43 minutes after 5 o'clock. And right now, as we begin to sort of slowly slide out of here, I do have some calls for submissions that are some are expiring very quickly, and I think I'm going to try to at least get one other one that expires the by mid-January. Let's see if I've got time. Let's go ahead and share the first one. First, Big Pond Rumors Press, they're looking for full chapbook manuscripts. Big Pond Rumors Press, it says, is now accepting chapbook length manuscripts for publication in 2026. They're looking for 20 to 24 pages of unpublished work as a whole. No AI or AI-generated poems. More information, please go to their, see if they have a website. They've got a Facebook page, just to go to Big Pond Rumors there. And I believe there was a November 1st, there might be more since then, but the one I noticed first was a November 1st, 2025 post that mentioned this call. It also has a contact person, Sharon Berg, on there, and how to contact her at that site. So another one is Arc Poetry. They have an open period, their current open period runs through, or it ends now on December 31st, and that is for poetry submissions. They have a spring open period in the spring from April through July, and now the fall one is September 1st through December 31st. So if you have, you might want to check them out. Arc Poetry, and that's ARC poetry.ca, and check out their open period for poetry. There's also two Sylvia's Press 2025 Wilder Series Poetry Book Prize. This is a poetry contest for women over 50. Prize, $1,000 in publication. It says print book and 20 author copies. They are looking for book-length submissions, so 48 to 80 pages with a single poem to a page. www.tosylviaspress.com, and then click on Wilder Series when you're there. Modern Fuel, and that, I don't know if I said that, but their deadline is also December 31st. So all three of those are coming up very quickly. Another one, you've got a little more time. This one's more locally focused. So at Modern Fuel, Artist Run Center has a volume they put out every year called Siphon, and they're looking for poetry, essays, creative writing, and more. And they also have they're themed each year as well. And the theme this year is resistance. And I'm reading from their site, quote, Siphon seeks work for our upcoming issue called Resistance, a force that moves through communities, voices, and creative practices in response to the violence, oppression, and injustice shaping our world today. I suggest that you go to their website. It tells has much more information and how to submit. www.modernfuel.org/siphon, and that's SYPHON. So their deadline is January 15th, and got another chapbook prize here that ends on January 15th as well. Award includes a prize of $5,000, 500 copies in distribution to Rattle's 8,000 plus subscribers, it says. It says they're asking you to please submit 15 to 30 pages of poetry. They say it's okay if individual poems have been published, but the manuscript as a whole must be unpublished and as a collection. So I'd suggest going to their website. Rattle says https rattle.com/page/chapbook prize. Again, that is also a January 15th deadline. And I think I've got time to do one more here. There is one more just a little bit later. This is has a deadline of January 25th, so a little more time. This is a craft. This is through Craft. Craft 2025 Memoir Excerpt and Essay Contest. It's open to all writers, it says, emerging and experienced, looking for previously unpublished creative nonfiction. So 6,000 words max. Go to their website for more information and how to submit. This has a January 25th deadline, if I didn't say that already. Craft.submittable.com. And then I think once you get there, that's their website. Then just look for the memoir excerpt and essay contest. You should be able to find it there pretty easily. And with that, I think I might just start to sign off. So I did say that I had a song to play too after, but the first thing I'd like to do is thank you for just really a heartfelt thanks to all of you for having tuned into the show today, and again to all of Joe and Craig, Zoe and Evelyn and Sarah for their wonderful events that I was able to air today. My heartfelt thanks to them, and again to Novel Idea for their space for both of those events. So again, my heartfelt thanks to all of you. You are and have been listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. And just a quick reminder that I upload both hours of my show each week to my personal blog space for it at Finding a Voice on CFRC FM.wordpress.com. They do remain there for 3 years. And after the show ends, I hope you can stay tuned for a great show. It's 2 hours of East Coast music in a show called Saltwater Music, hosted by Rob Carnell. Then there's another show at 8 o'clock that I'm familiar with that host as well, Nashan, and called it's both a poetry and music show called Salt Licked in Rapture. So that's on at 8 o'clock, so I hope you can stay tuned for that as well. To take us out of here today, let me get it kind of queued up here. And just a real quick thing. Again, I want to just thank all of you for tuning in again today and get my player set up here. I'm going to play, I came across this quite late, actually. It had been out for quite a while, and I didn't know anything about it. But anyway, I was introduced to Massive Attack, so I really do love a lot of their music. And so I'm going to play off of their 100th Window album, 2003 album. I'm going to play a song called Everywhere, Every When. Again, thank you for tuning in. Have a beautiful week and holiday. Catch you here next week.